Let us turn now to Genesis chapter 49, verses 22 through 28. 49, 22 through 28. Hear now the word of the Lord. Joseph is a fruitful bough, by a well. His branches run over the wall. The archers have bitterly grieved him, shot at him and hated him, but his bow remained in strength. The arms of his hands were made strong by the hands of the mighty God of Jacob. From there is the shepherd, the stone of Israel. By the God of your father who will help you, and by the mighty who will bless you, with blessings of heaven above, blessings of the deep that lies beneath, blessings of the breasts and of the womb. The blessings of your father have excelled the blessings of my ancestors. Up to the utmost bound of the everlasting hills, they shall be on the head of Joseph, and on the crown of the head of him who was separate from his brothers. Benjamin is a ravenous wolf. In the morning he shall devour the prey, and at night he shall divide the spoil. All these are the 12 tribes of Israel, and this is what their father spoke to them. And he blessed them. He blessed each one according to his own blessing. May God's blessing be upon these verses. Well, the title of the sermon tonight is The Enigma That Was Joseph. And you know that an enigma is a puzzle. Some of us like to do puzzles. And this passage about Joseph tonight is a bit of a puzzle because it seems strange based on the other blessings of the other brothers. It seems strange, especially in light of God's blessing on Judah. We either have here in this passage smaller blessings, like the one on Benjamin. Benjamin is a ravenous wolf. Verse 27, in the morning he shall devour the prey, and at night he shall divide the spoil. This indicates that Benjamin was going to have strength, the tribe of Benjamin himself and then his tribe, they were going to have a certain amount of strength. Wolves could be troublesome, and the tribe of Benjamin had a number of events take place in their history that were troublesome in Israel. But this speaks of also of Benjamin's power. And it says, in the morning he shall devour the prey, and at night he shall divide the spoil. We know that that's the way wolves tend to hunt and to eat. There's a group of them that get together, and they hunt in the morning, and then they also eat in the evening, and they divide their findings together and their conquerings together in the evening. And it's almost as if they're sharing. They pass it off, and everybody gets a good bite, you know, and it's a wonderful thing. Well, this is the image that God uses of Benjamin. And the bottom line, I think, for Benjamin is that Benjamin would be somewhat troublesome, and yet it would be a powerful tribe, and it would have success in inheriting the land that God had given to them. Well, that's more typical of these blessings that were given to the different sons of Jacob, except for Judah. And if we turn back to Judah, which comes to us in verse 8 through verse 12, we see quite a bit said about Judah, whereas most of the other brothers get a verse or two. Judah gets quite a few, and we saw in there where God had said that the scepter of rule, the scepter of kingly rule, would not pass out of Judah's hands until Shiloh comes. And we saw how even the ancient rabbis interpreted this to be messianic specific. In other words, the rule of the kings of Israel would come down through Judah's lines, and the Messiah himself would be a child of Judah, one of the grandsons of this patriarch Judah, who would be the head of his tribe in this day. So then we come to Joseph, and we say, well, what is left for Joseph? If the Messiah is going to come from Judah, if all of the kings of Israel are going to come to Judah, what is left for Joseph. But this passage on Joseph is very positive indeed. Reading this passage, you might expect that the Messiah would come from Joseph, if it hadn't already been identified as coming from Judah. So what is this? How do we understand this longer passage of Joseph, where the praise for Joseph is extravagant, full of indicative blessings, and yet it seems like the house was already given away, in a sense, with the inheritance of Judah. Well, that's the basic puzzle. What is the role here of Joseph? Let's look at the text, and then we'll look at the text, and then we'll try to draw some conclusions from it. We see, first of all, it says Joseph is a fruitful bough. So this is much better than a ravenous wolf, or as it says about Asher, bread from Asher shall be rich, he shall yield royal dainties. That's very nice sounding. Naphtali is a deer or a hind let loose. He uses beautiful words. This is a nice sounding beginning. Joseph is a fruitful bough. In other words, a limb, the limb of a tree that is very fruitful. Either it grows strong and prodigious, or if it's a fruit tree, then it yields good fruit, which it sounds like here, a fruitful bough by a well. Now, in this case, this tree grows by a water supply. Its roots are able to sink deep in the earth and by a well, by a natural water supply, so that despite the seasons and the climates, and we know, of course, that Israel went through a great time of dryness, and that's why they were driven to Egypt. But the tree that has its roots sinking down, you see, right by a well, this is a tree which is specially endowed. And so that sounds really good. It sounds like it's a real blessing that Jacob is uttering over Joseph's head. Then right away we see difficulties, because verse 23 says, the archers have bitterly grieved him, shot at him, and hated him. Now this is a strange thing. We might see where the archers have some contest or some military action against Joseph, but it speaks of a special animosity against Joseph. And right away we're reminded of Joseph's life and how he was a good lad, and yet his brothers hated him and questioned his special apparent blessings by his father and the special love that his father had for him. Verse 24, though, gives us a positive sense. It says, but his bow remained in strength. So despite the battle, despite the archers who shot against him, his bow retained its strength. And it says, the arms of his hands were made strong by the hands of the mighty God of Jacob. So that here it's almost as if the Lord has his arms around the back of Joseph, and as Joseph's in the midst of the fight, the arms of the Lord are strengthening the arms of Joseph. This is an amazing kind of a thing. And then it says, by the hands of the mighty God of Jacob, from there is the shepherd, the stone of Israel. And this is strange indeed, because it seems to go beyond the normal. And it just seems like God is speaking here about Joseph in a unique way. From there is the shepherd, the stone of Israel. So it's indicating that Joseph, in some way, will be tied to a great shepherd and even be called the stone of Israel. Now this reminds us immediately of the dream of Daniel, when Daniel sees the great statue representing the ancient kingdoms of the world, of Babylon and Medo-Persia and then Greece and Rome. And these four parts to the statue, and he says that there was a stone that came forth and crushed the legs of iron, which represented the Roman Empire in the prophecy of Daniel. So there was a stone there, and we know that in the New Testament that there's a stone that the builders rejected that comes from the Old Testament. So in Old Testament prophecy, there was this this stone that seems to come from the Lord God Himself, from the Creator, that will prove deadly to the kingdoms of this world. Now here we see a stone mentioned again, and we think it could be that same stone. We don't know of any other stone other than that in the Bible, except for the stones that went into the foundations of the temple or something like that, and there seems to be no sense of that here. Verse 25 then says, "By the God of your Father who will help you, and by the Almighty who will bless you with blessings of heaven above, blessings of the deep that lie beneath, blessings of the breasts and of the womb." And then Jacob has in verse 26 this extraordinary statement. He says, "The blessings of your father have excelled the blessings of my ancestors." Almost appearing as if Joseph, while he is a part of the family of Jacob, is also the part of another family. It's setting up this distinction, the blessings of Joseph's father versus the blessings of Joseph's father, that is, Jacob. And it makes you wonder. See, all these puzzling things. Up to the utmost bound of the everlasting hills, he says, these blessings will be. The blessings of Joseph's father would be above the highest hills, the everlasting hills. "They shall be on the head of Joseph and on the crown of the head of him who was separate from his brothers." So, as I said, all of these things are a puzzle. They're enigmatic. It makes you wonder, what is the Bible talking about here when Jacob blesses Joseph? Now, I would argue here that two things. One, that the blessings here are spiritual and not genetic. In other words, whereas all of the other blessings have focused more on the physical son and his physical progeny, the physical children of the children here, this blessing seems focused more upon Joseph. It seems more spiritual than physical or more spiritual than genetic. It seems to focus more on Joseph as a person in terms of his unique personage. Now, we know that the blessing that went to Joseph was shared by his two sons, Ephraim and Manasseh. And we know that Ephraim especially was not without great physical significance. In fact, when Israel was divided, the northern 10 tribes took Ephraim as their head. And they became known as Ephraim. You'll look in the scriptures and see statements made about Judah and Ephraim. Judah being the most powerful tribe in the south, Ephraim being the most powerful tribe in the north. So it's not as if Joseph's children were not blessed, and yet Ephraim is not mentioned here, nor Manasseh. All of the focus seems to be upon Joseph, and as I said, the blessings seem to relate to the qualities of Joseph's life, the character of Joseph, the spiritual blessing that would be upon him. So that in focus was not so much the tribe of Joseph or the tribes of Ephraim and Manasseh, but the secret spiritual blessings that would be upon Joseph. And then secondly, we see here that I would argue that the blessings seem to be messianic, because in the flesh we see that the Messiah was prophesied to come from Judah. But this seems to be arguing that in the spirit the Messiah would come from Joseph. That these great blessings, the fact that verse 26, that the blessings of your father will have excelled the blessings of my ancestors. There seems to be in this passage this pointing to the fact that the Messiah who was to come would descend from Judah physically, but would descend from Joseph spiritually. That there would be a combination here of the seed of the flesh, the seed of the patriarchs, and then this spiritual seed from Joseph. And does not that sort of link up with so many other points of Scripture? We think of Melchizedek, who was a kind of Christ, and yet mysterious. He was fleshly, and yet he came out of a mysterious background where no one knew his genealogy from the past. And we think of our Lord Jesus Christ, who came from Mary and Joseph, and yet was impregnated by the Holy Spirit, by God Himself. And so this point, in the same way that our Lord Jesus Christ is very mysterious, and yet we see these two great streams flowing into His person, we know that our Lord Jesus Christ had both human nature and divine nature united in one person. This is beyond us. We honestly cannot explain it to anyone, except that we say God has said it, and we say when we look at this Lord Jesus Christ, He seems to be an amazing person. And even people that don't want to give Him credit in world history, they are forced to give Him credit. We think right now of this awful piece of art that evidently is hanging again. I think it's in New York City, where there is a crucifix in a cup or a vessel of urine. It's an apostasy of a piece of art. And yet, we have to admit, here are people who hate Christ and want to diminish his reputation. And yet, in attempting to diminish his reputation, they're paying tribute to his reputation. Why are they so fascinated with this Christ who is a nobody? They're trying to make a sacrilegious piece of art to dishonor His name. By their dishonor, they pay tribute to Him. Some people in the media have said that any news about oneself, any treatment about oneself in the news is better than no news at all, or no treatment at all. And oftentimes, celebrities, movie makers will try to spread stories about their movie or salacious things or fantastic something or other about it just to get the thing in the news ahead of time so that people will go to the movie and attend it. Well, our Lord Jesus Christ is the kind of amazing person that even His detractors are forced to be fascinated with, and this has been the way it has been ever since the beginning, ever since His coming. We would argue here, therefore, that Joseph is, we've argued this earlier, but here we see it even in the blessing that comes at the end of his life. Joseph is a type of Christ, or Joseph is prophetic of the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Joseph was uniquely born out of love. It's an odd thing, but you remember how Jacob loved Rachel, and yet he was not allowed to marry her, and so Joseph was the firstborn of this real love relationship. Was not our Lord Jesus Christ born out of love? That special love of the Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And Christ comes out of this context, reflecting the human relationship of Joseph. And Joseph was uniquely endowed by nature. Joseph comes into the world and he seems to be extraordinarily gifted and sensitive as a young lad. And we know he was uniquely gifted by God, by his ability to see into the future and to see things that his brothers did not see. And he dreamed these fantastic dreams. They got him into trouble. But you see, they came from God. It was like in the same way that our Lord Jesus Christ was uniquely endowed. He came into the world and he had insights. He was protected from the fallen race by his righteousness. And just with the righteousness, the mind of righteousness, the heart of righteousness, our Lord Jesus Christ saw things in a way that the fallen race did not. He was uniquely endowed also. in the same way that Joseph was. And that got him into trouble, didn't it? And then thirdly, Joseph was rejected by his own family, by his own people. And that's brought out in this passage here. And we saw how this morning in the Gospel of John, at the beginning, the first chapter, it speaks of Jesus being rejected by his own people. We see these similarities that follow through the life. Fourthly, we see here that Joseph was uniquely blessed despite all of the arrows that were cast against him. He was uniquely blessed so that he, in the end, he inherited a throne. He became the prime minister of the most powerful nation in the world, sold as a slave. If anyone doubts that the Church of Jesus Christ in this world can triumph over its adversarial relationship with men who hate Christ, Joseph is the example. If God begins to push the church, if God begins to lift up the church will flourish. It will not matter how many universities or newspapers or people or leaders or nations stand against the Church of Christ. The Church of Christ will flourish miraculously, in a sense, in the same way that Joseph flourished miraculously, sold into slavery, almost killed over this woman that told lies about him. And yet, again and again, whether in slavery or in prison or wherever he was elevated by the power of God. And so it was with our Lord Jesus Christ. He was born into a poor family. He was even crucified at the end of his life. And yet, what happens? He ascends on high and ends up on the throne. Both of these men ended up on the throne. The one, absolutely, to the most powerful throne ever, that is Christ. But Joseph, a picture of this and his rising up. And then lastly, and most beautifully, both of these men became saviors of their people. Joseph, saving his people from the famine, the drought, and the famine of his day. Our Lord Jesus, saving his people from the darkness that we read about this morning in the Gospel of John. And so if you see here that Joseph is a mysterious kind of character, like Melchizedek in a sense, then you see here that this prophecy unto Joseph is very very understandable. Joseph is a fruitful bough by a well. His branches run over the wall. Joseph's roots run down and reach at the well that has water from which you can never thirst again. His adversaries, the archers, have bitterly grieved him. They've shot at him and hated him, but his bow remained in strength. The arms of his hands were made strong. Joseph, like Jesus, never failed in the righteousness that strengthened Christ. By the hands of the mighty God of Jacob. For there is the shepherd, the stone of Israel, by the God of your father who will help you, and by the Almighty who will bless you with blessings of heaven above, blessings of the deep that lies beneath, blessings of the breasts and of the womb. Our Lord Jesus Christ was nourished at the breasts of his human mother, and yet he grew strong by the Spirit of the Lord. The blessings of your father, Father God, have excelled the blessings of my ancestors. This is the story. Joseph here not only represents the Lord Jesus Christ, Joseph represents the elect, even as Jesus Christ represented the elect. God's special choice and God's blessings upon the elect are filled even up to the uttermost, bound to the everlasting hills. They shall be on the head of Joseph, on the crown of the head of him who was separate from his brothers. And so here in this prophecy about these 12 brothers, all of them would be blessed in time. A whole nation would be formed out of these 12 brothers. The Lord's hand was upon them all, much as it had been upon Joseph before. Their wives and their women kept having children. They were extremely fertile. They were extremely strong. The women weren't devastated by these many childbirths. They just seemed to pour out the children. The nation grew. The world could not restrain them. And all of a sudden, as if by surprise in the ancient world, I mean, these things were not heard of. These things were not considered. All of a sudden, out of the womb of Egypt poured a whole nation. Almost a de novo. From nothing. Creation ex nihilo, if you will. Into the ancient world, and Israel took up her place as a brand new nation because of a prophecy that God had made unto Abraham. I will give you this land, I will create a people, they will number like the stars of the sky and the sands of the seashore. And all of a sudden they came to pass. Out of this nation of blessing became, during the time of David and Solomon, the preeminent country in the Middle East, if you can imagine that. And out of this physical blessing, out of this physical presence, this physical nation, out of them came another one, a special one, a privileged one, a saintly one, a godly one, who would save his people from their sin. But there were indicators before he came that he would come, like Melchizedek and like Joseph. Well, others like Moses, who spoke with God face to face. Other prophets who heard God's words and sang of them to the peoples of the world. Here we see the same kind of thing, this mystery spoken of through the blessings of Jacob upon his sons. And especially here, his words of blessing upon his son Joseph. Jacob had a special love for this son. He didn't know where it came from. He loved all of his sons in a way. And yet, the Lord gave him a special love for Joseph. Because God's Spirit was upon Joseph. Joseph represented the elect. And Joseph represented Christ. Let's close in prayer. Our Father and our God, might we enjoy and sense the blessing, thy blessing that comes through Joseph. Even we who have believed on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ today have received and participate in the blessings of Joseph. Has not our blessing come up above the highest hills that we can imagine? For if we have Christ, we have everything. If we have this one who was so spiritually endowed, if we have this one whose own arms were strengthened by the arms of the Father, by the arms of His deity, oh God, can we not sense our own unique place in God's plans and in God's world? Bless us, O Lord, as we think back at our connections, for we are connected to both Judah and to Joseph. And both connections are very special indeed. One coming through the lines of the people of God, the other coming both through the lines of the people of God and directly from Thee, O Lord, as Thou didst work thy blessings upon this fallen race. Bless us, O Lord, today. We need it. We cry out for it. Bless us, O Lord, today. In the name of Jesus, our Lord. Amen.